keep coming back for more, and I can't get enough of you. Thanks for listening to Insta-Death Survivor Support Group. I'm Brian Hazard, your ever-eager explorer of games narrative. Ben Deaver and Vincent Lazzari have been kind enough to come back after all this time and talk about the community surrounding Lone Wolf. Ben, Vincent, welcome back.
Hi.
Hello.
So as I said, we're going to talk about the Wolf Pack, or our fellow Kai. What I'm curious about is, what has surprised you most about the community that surrounds Lone Wolf?
Oh, they're the best. They're just so supportive and patient. And I just feel so lucky knowing how difficult some fan bases can be, especially when someone new takes over or if you're creating new work. I obviously had a huge amount of trepidation coming into this. You're like, how would I be accepted? Like, would I be accepted? Would people just dismiss me out of hand? But I mean, people have gone so far as saying, you know, we don't mind if the books aren't very good even. Like, we're just happy that you're doing it. Which was like, oh, okay, great. Well,
okay.
I'll, you know,
okay.
Pressure's off.
Okay, no pressure. Also.
Yeah, yeah. But then... You know, the reaction was great. They really liked it. I mean, we had some incredible feedback from people saying that they thought it was, you know, God forbid, some of them said it was their favorite Lone Wolf books, which for me, obviously, was like, ha-ha, in your face, old
gotcha,
man.
Gotcha, Dad.
There he is. I got the last laugh. But obviously, it's complete nonsense. I couldn't even come close. But I've just been shocked, really, at how accepting and supportive everyone's been. They've been amazing. So thanks to everyone out there that's listening for all your support.
And there are many who grew up with the Lone Wolf series, like Vincent himself, actually. I, on the other hand, only discovered it a couple of years ago. And so I'm curious if you're seeing a lot of new fans coming into the world. What do you see in there?
I mean, when I took over, the only access I had to the fans was through my dad's personal Facebook page. There wasn't even a Lone Wolf Facebook group, official one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're only allowed a limit of 2,000 or 3,000 friends on Facebook. So that was the fan base that I was... kind of gifted. So since then, that has grown significantly. And I've only just started actually proactively reaching out through advertising and social media to try and collect people who might be curious or old fans coming back to it. And it appears that my dream of a new generation of readers discovering it seems to be happening as old fans introduce the books to their kids. So most of the new fans that we're discovering are the age that the books were written for. They're between the ages of 9 to 15, 9 to 12, most of them. My own daughter's 9. She started reading her first Lone Wolf book last night.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So yeah, it's really...
yeah, actually, you say that. She did. Maybe it's too early. But, but yeah, we'll see.
Funny. I'm paraphrasing a question from Rick Grotsky here. How are you balancing between fans from the 80s and 90s versus trying to attract the new fans?
I mean, we have de-genderized the point of view so that you're not referred to as a boy, which was actually very easy to do in order to make it more accessible for girls like my daughter, who I actually asked outright, you know, if it wasn't clear if you were a boy or girl, would you be more likely to read it? And she immediately said yes. We haven't really changed anything else. The cool thing about medieval fantasy fiction is that it's kind of timeless, so there isn't really much that we needed to change, apart from opening it up to more girls. What do you think, Vincent? Have we changed any of the gameplay significantly in that respect?
No, but when we write the books, we are new author, and we were born with those books in the 80s, and after we experienced the boom of the fantasy and sci-fi with Star Wars and the Lords of the Rings and all the things which have followed. So we are influenced by all of this stuff, and when we write our book, sometimes we say, oh, it reminds me of this cool scene in this movie. We did that yesterday, remember? So we are influenced, and we sometimes make things which are inspired from things that we know, that's human, we cannot do differently. So I'd say that we are writers of our time, and we know the issues of our time. In book 30, we created a center of recruitment of terrorists. which is quite a spoiler, but we'll see what I mean when we read the book. So that's something which is quite in the current period, you know, and it influences what we write, of course.
Yeah, there's a bit of climate change, a bit of refugee crisis. There's, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Fiction always speaks to the times in which it was written, to some degree or other. There's obviously these timeless truths that you found things like fantasy in, but I'm enjoying that side of it. It's not overt. It's not like we're trying to make some kind of social commentary.
Right.
But like Vincent said, you can't help but be influenced by what you've read
background
and watched and the times you live in.
Right. Makes sense. Cool. We do have an audience question I'll play here from Jonathan Stark.
Hey, Ben and Vincent, Jonathan here. I just wanted to hear what it was like, what the experience was like for you when you started to bring these books back and connect with the fan base. What was it like to see just how many people were influenced by your father, Ben? And what was it like to see the fans really embrace you two bringing this series back?
Well, yeah.
We experienced that in Italy for the first time when we go to the Lucca Comics and Game Convention, which is one of the biggest in Europe. We were invited there, Ben and I, and we went to present our first book in the Lone Wolf saga. And we were stressful. And that was completely crazy because when we arrived, there was a queue of people and they knew we were here and they all came to support us like rock stars. And the word they said to Ben, they thanked him. They told him how they loved his father as a man, not only as a author. That was an incredibly touching moment. Those fans were amazing. And we stay all the day speaking with them and signing for books that we have ever not written ourselves.
Or read.
That was weird. Yeah. And after that, on the Facebook community, we met the fans from other countries. We went also in Germany, in England. Yeah, the support is amazing and unconditional, I would say. So that's completely amazing.
My first experience of it was the day after Dad passed away when I was, I had to announce what had happened on Facebook, and then watching the tributes pour in the comments section was such an intense thing to experience, having never had any experience with his fan base or his books. That kind of outpouring of love and respect was really kind of, that was my introduction. That's what kind of really drilled it in, like, whoa, you've got a lot of people here that need you to do what you said you do. So that was pretty overwhelming. And then in terms of what the creativity of the fan base, I mean, this band, Brotherhood of the Crystal Star, who are amazing. They sound like the Killers. They're writing a song based on each of the books, which I would love to see them complete that project. It's really genuinely good stuff. My dad was a musician, so I know he would have loved it. And then there's, you know, so much amazing fan art and the cartography. And it's so cool the way that all of the diehard fans, they're very creative, very, very talented people. I mean, they just tend to be. It's a really amazing fan base to have. And I'm constantly being surprised by people emailing with stuff that they've done, stuff they want to work on. So it's kind of an embarrassment of riches, really. It's more of a vetting process of, you know, which of these incredible things do we want to dedicate time and money to, which is a great position to be in.
Right. It's amazing. It's like you read my mind, because my next question was going to be about fan content. I'm curious if you have like a coolest or favorite fan creation you've seen so far.
I think for me, it was the music. My previous career was in the music industry, so I was really thrilled with that. Vincent, what was the best thing you've seen?
For the moment, that's text, because we have very talented fans who knows very well the universe and who propose some exciting stuff. Again, there's such a big potential to expand and make it grow, respecting the first books. That's fantastic. I would say I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm just in now, but I'm just one of them. Just a member of the World Pack who got involved thanks to Joe Deaver more than 10 years ago now. I know what it means, and I know what it is to work with this team. So it's fantastic, and many others realize that. The legendary cartographer of Magnamund, Francesco Mancioli, who made the lovely maps of Magnamund, 40 of them to cartographize each spot of the country. He came to Joe as a fan 15 years ago, showing his drawing, and Joe said, "Wow, we have to work together." And so now every time we make a map, now it's Francesco's work.
Mm.
So yeah, there will be new ones. I'm not afraid of that. Newcomers in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many good ideas which are coming and submitted to Ben. That's astonishing.
Yeah.
Well, Vincent, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show and discussing your world with us. I think it means a lot to me, for sure, and I think it means a lot to the fans of Lone Wolf as well to hear you talk about it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
All right, if you like this content and want more of it, there are ways that you can support. Subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes. Comment, like, and subscribe on YouTube. I think the big YouTubers say, smash that like button! or support us financially on Patreon. Any small action can help to reach more fans of narrative games like Lone Wolf. And I do appreciate your help. Links for all of that are in the show notes and the description below. And I'll see you in an upcoming episode of Insta-Death Survivors Support Group. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. A special thanks to our guests and to the contributors who helped make the show better than I ever could on my own. Intro music graciously provided by Jesse Johnson, aka Zenoda. Find more great music by searching Jesse Johnson or Zenoda, spelled with an X, on YouTube and most major streaming platforms. Podcast cover art generously contributed by Patrick O'Neill. You can learn more about Pat's art on his Facebook page, Pat O'Neill Art.